This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
Ingrail, how are you? Are you all right?
Lockmore the Betrayer claims another life.
Ingrail is dead.
And the heroes will risk his wrath.
A couple things are going to happen.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
They're all very, very bad.
So that the forces of good...
By the order of the shield, I bring you to your judgment. Face my lance.
May prevail.
For Highbury!
The adventure continues.
Oh, no! Oh my God.
Now.
Another week, another episode of the Glass Cannon Podcast. What's up, everybody? Troy LaValle back again. Tag team back again. Something, something, let's begin. You guys remember that song? No? I'm showing my age. Before we get to episode 77, I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody that participated in our first ever GCP retreat weekend. How fun was that? I mean, we obviously had a ton of fun. I think I'm still recovering a week and a half later. But hopefully you guys had fun as well, interacting with us, being able to put voices with faces besides mine. And we also got to give some stuff away, which was a gigantic mess, as you've seen from our Facebook posts. Honestly, we were just so excited to give stuff away, we never thought like, oh, wait a minute, internet lag, and we were all drinking and not paying attention to the comments and whatnot. So we went back, course corrected, and saw, okay, somebody said this answer first, somebody said this answer first. So first of all, apologies to the people who were like, you win! And then we were like, just kidding, it was this guy or this girl. But the people that we did announce won something, we are going to send you something anyways, but we want to be fair to the people that actually got the answers correct first. So even though we'll never be doing that again live, I hope you enjoyed it, and now I've got about 50 packages to mail out, but I promise, they're coming soon. I don't want to hold you guys up much longer because I know everyone's excited to find out how this crazy battle turns out, but I did want to point you once again back to the subreddit because there's some really cool stuff going on with a Discord. I don't even know what Discord is, but I do know the people on the subreddit are using it to meet up and play Pathfinder with each other. I mean, this has been the end goal all along, I think. The fact that like-minded people, i.e. GCP fans, are getting together and playing Pathfinder is phenomenal to us. So please, if you're interested in playing, whether you're a new player, whether you're someone who's never, ever played before, or someone who played when they were a teenager and is looking to get back in, or a seasoned vet, they are having games for people of all skill levels, and that is the place to go. So go to our subreddit, check out the thread for the Discord, where people are creating Roll20s. I think there's already been like two or three groups of five or six that have already started playing, but there's still going to be more groups joining up, so if you want to be involved, get on that subreddit. Be sure to keep emailing us at glasscannonpodcast@gmail.com, and we promise we'll get back to you. I know we've fallen a little bit behind with the weekend and everything, but we also only used to get a couple emails a week. Now we get like 40 a day. So we're doing our best, but we promise we will get back to every single one of you. And thank you, as Joe always mentions, for those iTunes reviews. You have no idea how much that helps, even though it seems so silly. We read every single one of them. They keep getting better. They're really touching to us, and they help the crazy algorithm that is Apple iTunes success. All right, I could go on and on forever. Let's just get to the episode. Here she is in all her Pathfinder glory. Episode 77, Spear and Loathing in Lost Places.
Ingrahild is dead.
What?
a lone voice in the back.
I thought we told Skid.
Wait, what?
What?
She is perma-dead. Now, when I prepare these things, especially a weird one like this where I thought the party might get split and Lockmore is doing... You know, he's kind of luring half the party in and whatnot.
How you split the party?
Sure. But I, in all my permutations of this, like, I know this is a deadly character. I was like, can't wait to really give it to Della. She needs it. She needs to really be taken down a notch.
Yeah.
With a couple attacks. And just the way it worked out, and you can say, well, yeah, Troy, you control Ingrahild. You control Umlo. Yeah, I can control them to say we're going left instead of right. We're going to go there. But, like, I just didn't... I thought maybe Willamette could have charged up. Spent a full round action lighting the torch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Had to. He couldn't see.
Could have been in there.
He was in pitch blackness, if you imagine it. Pitch blackness.
Yeah.
What if I had pre-decided that Lockmore was going to be in that room. So if Nestor, or if Baron, or if Della was the first one in the room, I mean, they were going to get the brunt of that. Ingrahild had to choose to use the diehard feat to stay alive. She was not going to go down.
I find that to be one of the strangest things about that feat.
You get to choose?
That you get to choose. I mean, I guess as a player, it makes sense. You know, it's like, oh, well, you get the, we'll give them the option. But as a, you know, when you think about a character, in how many situations is a character with that feat going to go down unless, you know, they're being slimy?
You should go down.
No, I know. I'm saying, but it would only seem weak. You know, if you were playing a hero.
But you know what it is? What I think about it is like one of those battle scenes like from Henry V, where there's just a guy falls off his horse and there's just horses running over and everything's going in slow motion and he hears like ringing in his ears. And he's down below zero at that point. And he's just trying to like reorient himself. And then something within him, he sees something. In her case, she saw Umlo. She saw the man that desecrated her. And that made her stay up. And it led. 26 points of damage. I mean, any way you roll it, she was already at -2. She definitely doesn't have a 28 con. She is permanently dead. And you
once
pointed
more into
this
the
out to me, Joe, after the session ended, that I didn't even think about this. Baron doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
He's in the other room.
Yeah, to compliment Grant, he tried to go another way and was doing everything by the book, the move actions to open the doors, to move his exact speed. So he has not even come into that room yet. And it's taking him multiple rounds to get there. I wonder what you're thinking. You know, you, Grant, know, but you as a character don't even know yet. When you walk in there, Ingrahild's going to be dead.
I know that I wish that Della or Nestor had opened the door for me so I could be 20 feet closer, but that... No, I'm just kidding. That would have been great.
You just sent Matthew an email on Wednesday. You were like... Why couldn't you open the door, man?
You know, listen, Matthew, a gentleman would have opened the door.
A gentleman was trying to save your girlfriend.
It's just so ironic that you were just like, was it last episode or two episodes ago? You're like, I'm kind of feeling a little romantic.
I started mentioning it two episodes ago.
I mean, that's the closeness between you two has been evident. And like, you know, Joe's the type who's like, nobody cares about Ingrahild. Well, I disagree. I think some people care about Ingrahild. I care about Ingrahild. But obviously, they don't care about it as much as they do Lork or Baron or, you know, these characters they've been with for a while. But, I mean, you've been with Ingrahild since...
49?
Marsh
Madness.
You know?
Yeah.
She's been a part of your party. And, you know, maybe
it's because I've always... had a little thing against Ingrahild because she tried to cut my head off.
Cut your head off.
She didn't cut off Willamette's head, though.
That was my introduction. Yeah, I got to get in character. I'm sorry. I got to get in character.
But now she is permanently dead in the tomb of her ancestor next to the brother that she risked everything to save, including your lives or some of your lives.
I think the other reason why it's easier, even if fans do care about her, to care about her less is because she's controlled by a monster.
Right.
Troy LaValle.
A Loch Ness monster.
Who will conveniently forget to add her to combat, sir.
Yeah.
Controlled by a monster.
But I mean, I don't know. She's dead. She's dead. And obviously you're in the middle of combat, but all I could think about this week was Umlo. All I could think about is like...
It happened
just from a story perspective. It was
hard to see it last week, but what I kept thinking about was how he stabbed past Umlo to get to Ingrahild. Umlo tried to step in to save her, and he just was a little bit off, you know? And so this guy stabs past Umlo to get to Ingrahild to deliver the killing blow. And it made sense to me because she looks like she's going to die any second, so that's the easy target. Take her out.
You wonder if a part of him knows.
Yeah, but what is that?
These are kin to the man that he was jealous of and just wanted to take her out.
They probably kind of look like him a little bit, maybe.
He's going to take so much satisfaction in this for the 6 seconds he's alive.
Well, it's like as if, because there's got to be this confluence of emotion happening for him, because they're in this tomb of this legendary figure that they've been searching for so long. And then the legendary figure who betrayed their ancestor, who they revere, is there. And then he kills his sister.
Yep. With his weapon.
Yeah.
With Steel Hand's weapon. Yeah.
It's like as if George W. Bush showed up in the basement of the White House looking for the tomb of George Washington. and with Jeb Bush. And then, like, the ghost of Benedict Arnold comes out and, like, murders Jeb Bush in front of him.
Now I get it.
Now I get it.
So okay.
I'm beginning to think, though, the other thing that's been making me think of, besides that mind-blowing revelation, was...
Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. No.
I'm thinking, outside of these spider people and Ettins and everything else, there's really been nothing keeping him leaving unless the curse that he has means that he has to stay here. He either has to stay here to stay immortal, or he's been waiting to kill whoever shows up.
Right, what did he say?
It took the three of you to open the door, though. It took...
He was sealed in.
That broke the seal.
You're right. You're right.
And I don't think he was... I mean, yeah, because what was stopping him from hacking away at the door the same way we did?
Right.
You know? And how easy was it to find that secret door? It was slightly ajar.
Yeah.
Too easy to find.
You know, I never thought of that.
It's a trap.
And
I thought you were just trying to, like, let's move this along.
And what do you say? Torag cursed me with immortality. But something in effect like, you will not be as lucky.
Yeah.
Ingrihild does not have that curse. For Ingrihild is dead.
Well, it makes me wonder, can we kill him? You know what I mean? Like, is he killable?
Oh,
He's immortal. Will he take some other...
He's probably immortal like elves and Lord of the Rings are immortal. Like,
He could be killed by violence or die from sorrow. So we can either kill him with our weapons or just make him really, really sad. And then he'll die.
I'll go with the latter.
Yeah. That won't take time at all.
Yeah. You look really fat.
We could ask him, did you know that Troy has never seen Jurassic Park? And he'll weep understanding the years of lost joy that Troy could have.
How many viewings he could have had, Grant? How many in these 25 years?
No!
Collapses. His screams echo for miles.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
His killing blow on Ingrihild was one attack. He still has a second. So he is backed up against a corner here. He is 10 feet away from the door, and he's already done one attack, but he has very low movement speed, and in order to try and do his another attack, he can only move a 5-foot step. So seeing the onslaught of people coming at him from his left, he's going to take a step towards the right.
Closer to Sir Willamette.
Closer to Sir Willamette. But he will not attack.
Mm.
However, is the room lit?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Willamette has a torch.
Yeah, I had a torch, and I meant to say this before, and I was going to bring it up before we started setting up, but last time I did a double move to get into the room, and it was fully my intention to drop the torch in the room once I saw him. So kind of just drop it in the middle there so I can see, but then free myself up to draw the lance.
Everyone in the room, so for now, that will not include Baron or Nestor. Roll a fortitude save.
Oh, shit.
DC 13.
Della makes it.
Willamette makes it.
Umlo?
Oh, Umlo.
I'm Umlo.
God, why does that never get old? I'm Umlo.
Umlo rolled a 5 on the die and failed.
Ooh.
That was so funny.
You really caught Grant there in a spit take.
Well, it's because he also made me sound like way dumber than I normally do with myself. I'm Umlo.
It was perfect. It was like surprising to you that you're Umlo.
Sorry. Umlo failed his save.
Uh-oh.
Oh my God. Oh my God. All right, so something, you know, as a GM, and sure you know this about me, I sometimes forget things, okay? I thought this was something I had to do as an actual attack, this power that I just used. But in fact, the minute you came in contact with him, you should have rolled this save.
It's an aura of some sort?
It's a gaze that is just constantly active.
Whoa.
Willamette is now fully safe from it, can never be affected by it for the next 24 hours. Same with Della. Umlo failed. And he takes 4 points of strength damage.
Oh, shit.
4 points of con damage.
Oh, my God.
He's already down 5. and 2 points of charisma drain.
Wow.
From the baleful gaze.
Yeah.
Of Lockmore the Betrayer.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, excuse me. You, Della, and you, Willamette, are safe for a minute. So if this goes more than 12 rounds, we'll have to roll.
Well, you know, I think Willamette would have... No, you know what? He wouldn't have. I was going to say he might have seen something like this, because I, as a player, know that ability is tied to some high-level demons. Like, that is a dark, dark ability.
Yeah, yeah.
For some people, you have to actually activate.
And Willamette definitely fought demons in his time. Not like, I've slayed many demons. Like, he's been involved in fights.
He's been in
other
a war
people,
against demons.
So he's seen some lower-level demons. I don't think he's ever seen a baleful gaze. That is an extremely powerful ability.
Now, Baron, you're not going to be able to get to Baron in time to tell him, don't look! But you could tell Nestor, be careful, and then Nestor's going to have two options. He can wear a blindfold, which obviously he's not going to do, or he can try to avert his eyes, which gives him basically a 50% mischance.
He can shout it out.
Oh, excuse me. You can avert your eyes. If you tell him to avert your eyes, you can avoid looking at the creature's face, and then each round you have a 50% chance to avoid having to make the saving throw.
Oh, wow.
So you get a 50% chance to avoid having to make it. If you roll 51, you don't have to make it. But as long as you make it once, you're fine. But on that
For one minute. Right.
If you fail, you can keep hopefully rolling over 50%, but the first time you fail and have to roll that saving throw, if you fail that saving throw, you're going to be affected by it. And Baron has no chance of avoiding it. But hopefully Baron can beat a DC 13 fortitude.
That's only because, as Skid has pointed out in the past, that there is no facing in Pathfinder. I'm really going to come in and his back's going to be turned to me. So if it's really a gaze, it really doesn't make sense.
I just want to add that if you do avert your gaze, what you pay for, the 50% chance that you don't have to roll a save, is a 50% mischance on the target. So if you try to shoot at him and you roll to hit, and you hit, you have to roll a 50% mischance.
I ain't scared of no man.
And could you study the target while you're averting your gaze?
Oh,
very interesting.
Good question.
Troy, what's the ruling on that?
Oh, man, talk about complex mechanics.
I think we all know the ruling on that. I mean, just so you know, Umlo is down 9 con right now.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
He already took 20 hit points of damage. I'm not even going to worry about the charisma drain right now, but he's down 4 strength as well. Umlo has 12 hit points left.
Oh.
Because of that.
Oh,
my God.
Wow.
He cannot use power attack now, and he cannot use cleave because his strength is... Everything is just... He doesn't meet the prerequisites in order to do those things anymore. Man, the Nargrimmians, this was... This, you can't write this.
Well,
it's
the
dice.
It is a tomb for Nargrimmican, so,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
That was Lockmore. We're still in round 7. Sir Willamette Keswick on his trusty steed Lexington. Lance at the ready.
Lance at the ready.
Lance Bass.
He had smote. He had smote evil, and he is going to. This round, as he starts, he's going to level his lance. He's going to say, "Usurper!" Wait, that's not right. He's going to say, "That's not quite right." He's going to say, "By the order of the shield, I bring you to your judgment. Face my lance." And he's going to enact his cavalier ability, challenge for the day. Uh-huh. So he's smiting evil and challenging, which is going to boost his damage to insane levels if he actually hits. This is an ideal target for him, an evil creature that has attacked his opponents. So by the order of the shield.
I have to stop you because this is the first time we've dealt with smite evil and challenge.
Yeah, true. That's
Skid,
right.
You've been wanting this for a long time.
Here we go.
Oh, damn it.
Also very appropriate.
Shit.
Oh, you jinxed me, dude.
Nerd. You've got some flaming to do. It is time for Nerd.
All right. Skid, so, do you want to take this?
Start with Smite Evil.
You know your way around Smite Evil?
I don't at all. So,
so Smite Evil is a paladin ability that Willamette can do. If he is encountering an evil creature, he can smite it as a swift action, which gives him a bonus to attack based on his charisma roll. And as you know, he's a dashing young man. And he gets bonus to damage of his paladin level. So +3 to hit, +4 to damage.
Nice.
On the target, if it's evil. And you can use it and then find out the target is not evil and it's wasted. So, but in this case, the target is evil. And then
it's chaotic evil.
And I've never done this before. I'm compounding it with the Cavalier's Challenge. As a low-level Cavalier, I get that once per day, and I get +3 to damage. So it's an additional +7. Wow. To the damage between the Smite Evil and the Cavalier's Charge.
Do you take any minuses for that challenge? Like, does...
No.
You know, like your AC goes down to people that aren't the object of your challenge?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I get a -2. Oh, yeah. By the way, with Smite Evil, I get a +3 deflection bonus to AC from that target.
Nice.
I get a -2 AC from any other target from the Cavalier's Challenge because you're so focused on this one opponent.
Right.
So basically, you're boiling up all of this sort of holy smite, rage, anger at this one guy. And if you miss, that's bad. Because you really get kind of one shot at it. Now, the challenge in smite lasts for a little while, but the charge with the lance, that's sort of, you're not going to get many options for that in a small room. So he's got one shot at this. And
do not miss your chance to blow.
Arms weak, knees unsteady.
You only get one shot.
Joe's going to roll. Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah. Joe's going to roll.
So, Joe, I'm going to throw in a bottle cap on this.
Dude, thank you so much.
Matthew, where is this bottle cap?
I don't know where it went. I was looking for it on the break.
Matthew, I'm on your mic, and I'd like that bottle cap.
Yeah, I'm saying, okay, I'll use my imaginary bottle cap instead.
I gave you one like a couple episodes ago, but I didn't have it.
Question for Joe while we're still close to
it. It was for the Pathfinder joke.
It was for the Pathfinder joke.
Oh, that's right.
We need to find the path.
That's right. That was good. That still gets me.
I thought we gave that up 74.
When would I need to give it up in 74? What part of that decimation would we need to give up a bottle cap?
No, the question is you wrote up with your double move and said you were activating it last episode. So is it a toggle you turn on and it just stays on?
What?
Smite Evil.
It's a swift action.
Oh, so you were just saying you were going to use it when you got to attack the next round.
No, right? I double moved and used a swift action.
Oh, you haven't attacked yet, Susan. Wow.
Yeah. So I double moved, used a swift action. Now, on my next turn, which I was so excited for last week that I didn't get, I get to add my Cavalier's Challenge to it to just bolster that damage. And then Willamette, under his breath, is going to say, Eomadai, please guide my lance. And out loud, he's going to say, for Highbury! And charge.
Roll twice.
I rolled a natural 2. Oh my god.
Oh, good thing you
rolled twice.
Cast.
Natty 17.
Yes!
Going to be a 34 to hit.
Woo! Sir Willamette hits.
Yeah! I also have a feat called Ride by Attack, so I'll go to the end of the room. I'll plow through
him. You can go through his face?
I can go through him with the lance.
Holy shit.
Awesome. Plow!
All right, roll for damage.
Nail him with the lance. And I do 8, 9. I do 33 points of damage.
So basically,
you just see this like bright white light emanate out of Willamette as he speeds up in this charge, and then it lands on this evil creature.
You run him through,
and you just see like the power of good bursting through this guy.
At the end of your lance is huge chunks of his flesh, and now you can see there's a huge rip in his flesh, and you just see his heart beating underneath.
And Willamette just kind of turns Lexington at the end of it as he's up against the wall, looking back at him, and he holds the lance high.
Yeah,
for Highbury.
For Highbury.
For Highbury.
Della Narn.
Here we go.
Okay.
You gotta crit this motherfucker, Della.
Della
crit
is
this motherfucker.
Della wants to pinch this guy in, so she's gonna roll acrobatics to avoid the attack of opportunity to move to the other side of him.
Oh, so Della, you're gonna move into his threatened range. That's fine, but moving from there right up next to him will provoke. So you're gonna try and beat that. So it's gonna be you roll acrobatics, and it's gonna be what his just his CMD because you're not moving through his space.
Yeah.
All right, roll acrobatics.
28.
Whoa.
You made it.
Nice.
So Della just dances her way through and is now right up, blocking the door, mind you.
Ooh, that is clutch.
Next to Lockmore the Betrayer.
Now she's going to try to rake him up with my flaming, shocking scimitar.
Yeah.
21 to hit.
Hits.
Yes!
So your sword's back to normal now, right? as
yeah,
far as
yeah.
Whip.
It was just that one. The whip, like, was one thing.
16 points of damage.
Nice.
Okay, now is that regular damage? I need to know the actual breakdown of damage.
So
he's got DR.
10 points of regular damage.
Okay.
And then 6 points of fire and electricity.
Tell me each individually.
4 points of electricity, 2 points of fire.
Okay. So you hit him. Seems to do very little damage.
Can I roll resist
knowledge?
Fire?
I'm going to roll a knowledge check on this to see what he was resistant to. What do you want me to roll?
You can roll a knowledge local.
19.
19? He seems to be resistant to many types of energy.
Oh, so none of the electricity and the fire didn't do anything.
It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Okay. You just get the feeling like this guy can resist a lot of different types of energy.
But not the energy of pure good. The energy of Highbury!
Highbury!
That's my new favorite chant.
Yeah.
And now, after a week long sojourn, but let's be honest, for Umlo, it was less than 6 seconds. He sees his sister fall, knows dead when he sees it. Broken, battered, 12 hit points left. I mean, he's got an 8 strength now. He has, he's taken 9 points of constitution damage. He's now down to a 5 con. A dwarf with 5 con.
That's a -3.
Sickly.
For every level for his hit points.
So he's sickly.
He swings. Tears in his eyes. He swings twice with his warhammer.
Desperately.
Critical threat. Oh! On the first hit. Oh! Can't lie. 20. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Misses on the second attack. Critical threat. To confirm, I'll roll it in front of you guys.
Come on, Umlo.
19!
Yeah!
Holy shit, he just crit with a warhammer. Oh, that's -3.
It is.
-3 crit bludgeoning.
-3 crit.
-3 crit bludgeoning.
Oh my god, talk about right at the end.
Low blow.
Right in his dick!
Normal damage, which is -3, right? No.
No,
normal
damage.
Double damage.
-2.
Right, normal damage, -2, and the target is sickened for 1d6 rounds.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
He's like, for an ingrat! And hits him right in the penis. So it's going to be double damage. That's 26 points of damage.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
After what Willamette just did, that's huge. And he will be sickened for 4 rounds.
Oh, man. Awesome.
Wow. Umlo, in his desperation, turns it around.
He just swings his hammer right up into his crotch.
How much damage did I say?
26.
26 points of damage.
36.
Stop. 46.
Now damn it, you stop that. And sickened is a -2 to attacks.
So sickened is -2 to hit and -2 to damage and saving throws and skill checks and ability checks. So I don't think you'll be doing those. But attack and damage, -2 to both.
Okay. I can add that on Hero Lab while Nestor Coin decides how he'd like to start off round 8. They've yelled out to you. He's got a gaze attack. Avert your eyes. Or take your chances.
Right, so I got to look him in the eye, mate. I got to see what I'm fighting, because I got to study him, right? So I got to take my chances, and I'm going to step in, make it right there, and I got a clear shot. I step into the room, got a clear shot, and I'm going to try to make a save. It's a fortitude save, yeah?
Yes, right. Fortitude save DC 13.
Nope, failed. I failed it.
Oh no!
It's all right. It's fine.
Nestor, now how much?
I'm all right.
How
I'm
much
all right.
strength are you down, Nestor?
I'm at 10.
You're at 10 strength. A D4 for strength, a D4 for con, and a D4 for charisma. First strength damage.
4
points of strength.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Nestor's such a badass.
Yeah.
Here's the con.
One point of con. Right.
And then he's already He's already pretty ugly. 2 points of charisma damage.
Charisma. That's fine.
4, 1, 2.
You know the beauty of it. I don't need any of them to do the damage. I'm on a deal.
Oh, that sounds so creepy.
I'll deal with that when it's over, but for the moment, I'm going to look him right in the eye. And I'm going to study him, right? And I'm going to see whatever weaknesses he's got. And I'm going to fire.
All right. Now, we all know, I now know, Nestor has precise shot. But in the event that he misses, D100.
18.
D100.
Oh, this is the first time.
If he...
So he's, there's two of us.
98.
You're all right.
You're all right. I would have to roll a dice to determine if it hit Umlo or Della. All right. Nestor comes in. He's a little worse for the wear, but he's in the room. Everyone's in the room except Baron Redheart. Who's still there?
Ingrahild! How are you? Are you all right?
Does anyone answer back?
Silence.
You just hear the screams and clangs of war. You just hear,
for Highbury!
For Highbury!
All right.
Baron says, he runs to the door. He says, Lockmore at her gun. I am the law of True Now.
I love it.
I am the bearer of the law of Torag, and I am the law of the living, the immortal, and the dead. And I'm gonna shoot you in the back just like you stabbed Nargrim Steel Hand. And he uses deed targeting to target his torso and thereby keen his gun.
Oh!
Now, such a great speech, but how can you can? Oh, because he's standing right there
right
next
in the,
to
door.
The door.
Just look at the door.
You're good. Yep. So he gets cover, but you're shooting, targeting. Tell me about targeting again.
Right behind him.
I can choose to shoot either the arms to make them drop their weapon, the head to make them confused with normal damage, the legs to make them knocked prone.
So what does the chest do, though?
Keen, 19 to 20.
Oh, it just keens it. Okay. Yeah. And it doesn't provoke because you can't provoke an attack of opportunity around the corner.
Right.
And he's also not.
He's not in square.
So yeah. Just so you can picture this at home, Baron has walked up to the door and directly in front of you is Della, and to Della's left is
right around the corner.
Lockmore Etagon.
So if he can see more than half of Lockmore, in your opinion, he gets plus 2 to AC. If he can't see it, it's plus 4 to AC. But
if,
it's touch.
If you stood in that door right behind you right now,
right,
I could
but I'm
see
talking
all
in terms of mechanics. Is that full or half?
That's half. It's always up to the GM. It says it specifically in the rules.
I'm going to say it's plus 2 to its AC.
Okay.
Partial cover.
Okay. And do I need to roll for gaze? I'm behind him, though, so it's a question of where gaze goes.
Oh, yeah, you gotta roll for gaze.
You better roll
spell,
for gaze.
Spell-like?
Supernatural ability, yeah?
No, it's not.
It's not.
Supernatural is
supernatural
not spell-like.
Okay.
Right.
Fortitude.
Come on, Baron.
That's your best one, right?
Yes!
24.
Yeah.
You're all right,
you
Baron.
Badass sheriff.
All right, fire
God, I love
away.
That Wyatt Earp speech.
So
yeah.
You get one shot, right? Because
you tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me!
Let me guess. Troy didn't see Tombstone either.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God.
No!
Natty won. And you know what I'm picturing is? Right before you pulled the trigger, you saw on the other side of the room.
I think that's what happened.
They were held dead.
Yeah.
So I had to roll.
Oh, my God.
My gun is jammed, but I had to roll to confirm.
Roll to confirm the fumble.
Oh, no.
Oh, my
Grant,
God.
Grant, that would have been so sweet, dude.
17.
Touch.
17 touch AC.
And he's got a plus 2.
All right, so it's... Oh, it's got a plus 2. You're okay. You did not fumble, but
misfire.
Your gun it has misfired.
Oh, no!
Man, this is awesome!
Yeah, right at the last second, you see Ingrahild's body in the back.
It is now.
And so your gun mechanically has an arrow.
<All right>. It is now Lockmore... Edergon's turn. He takes one hand off of his spear. The hand that isn't steel. His left hand. And he goes to touch Della.
Uh-oh. She has to have a good touch AC, though.
Cat's grace.
Rolling in front.
Oh. Miss.
20. Touch AC.
What?
It's a
plus 12 touch attack.
Yeah, that hits.
Oh. Sorry, I said miss. I thought it was a 2.
Oh, excuse me. It was a plus 10, so 18 touch.
Still hits.
Still hitch. Oh, boy.
Still hitch.
Still hitch. Still hitch. Sorry, Will Smith.
That's the sequel to Hitch.
Still hitch. Still
hitch. Roll a fortitude save. And when I say a very important fortitude save, I mean it.
Wish I had a bottle cap.
Listen to the music.
11.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
You got to be kidding me, Matthew.
When I read this combat, I was like, man, these saves are like DC 13. They're going to all pass. A couple things are going to happen.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And they're all very, very bad. Della, you take 11 points of physical damage. You take, rolled a 1 on a D6, 1 point of dex damage. And you fall to the ground in a fit of convulsions. For 3 rounds, you are dazed in a fit of convulsions from the torturous touch.
Oh my God.
That's what you see.
Oh my
Baron,
God.
Baron, right in front of you, Della falls. Baron, put her upside down. Falls.
Oh God.
Just racked with pain.
3 rounds.
Ooh.
So I was going to use that on Willamette. Evil versus good, but you ran past him.
Mm-hmm.
We could have pinned him. Is that so? Mechanically, I'm dazed.
Mechanically, you're dazed.
Okay. I want to make sure I add it correctly on here.
And you're prone.
And I'm prone.
Dazed and prone. Once again, dazed is the worst one. Can't do anything, right?
No, stunned is the worst one. She doesn't get any penalty to her AC.
Yeah, dazed, she has no penalty to her AC.
Ah, okay.
But stunned is the worst.
Useless, no penalty for him to, like, coup de grace you. And you've already seen him basically coup de grace Ingrahild. Exactly. Well-timed screams. Sir Willamette Keswick.
Oh,
you shake
God.
The flesh off of your lance.
Yeah.
You are now 10 feet away from him. Ain't no room to charge no mo.
Nope. You will pay for your crimes against good. Willamette will just ride, sort of do a circular ride around the room, basically, to avoid him completely and readjust his position.
That's leaving a threat in square, though.
Yep. You will provoke.
Oh, no.
I disagree. He took his hand off of his weapon, a two-handed
Ooh.
Weapon, to cast the spell.
That's a good argument.
Are you going to say it's instantly back on the weapon and prepared to do an attack of opportunity?
He took his hand off to do a touch attack.
Mm-hmm.
You can't quickly put your hand back on your weapon.
Well, it's up to you.
He's not moving.
I could argue that he was not prepared for an attack of opportunity that quickly.
That's a good argument.
But it's up to you.
He's going to take the attack of opportunity.
He didn't move, so his move action
Fans,
was...
Fans, write in. Let us know your thoughts on Troy.
I'm sure they will.
Watch this.
All right. But attack of opportunity is really fast.
This is the right. same. This but is the also, same guy who also, tried to argue that that saying one command word is a standard action.
That's in the book.
Also,
he's helpless. It's the book. He's helpless.
He's taking the attack of opportunity. I'm rolling in front of you. 19. King.
Oh, off the shield.
Off the armor. Off the shield. Yeah.
King.
Off the shield.
All right.
Willamette will ride around in order to reset himself for possibly another charge, but he doesn't know. But at this point, he is going to pray to Iomedai once again and channel positive energy into the room.
Ingrahild's body lights up, still stays dead.
Yeah, unfortunately. But here we go. Channel positive. 4 points of healing.
Does God that, damn it!
You have selective, does that hit chill. Baron?
Yes, it sure does.
And you have selective, right? So you don't...
No, I don't, but it doesn't... oh, wait. So it automatically heals him?
He's
undead.
Evil.
It's just for undead.
Right.
Yeah, so he gets...
It's only 4 points.
Yeah, so it heals him, yes.
But most importantly, Umlo gets...
Yeah, that's what I was going for, Umlo and Della. And myself, actually.
Speaking of Della, you're up.
I'm convulsing.
Can't do anything.
Yeah, she says.
Umlo, Nargrimkin, the last of the Nargrimkins. Man, I don't even know what the hell he can do. I mean, all he can do is swing.
Yeah, tell him.
All right, first attack, hit. Second attack, I'm just going to roll these. Miss. 8 points of damage. So
all physical.
All physical. I can't believe this, but it's round 9.
I didn't even, yeah, didn't keep track of all that.
And
can we see if all that damage went through, if it all affected him?
Right. Yeah, do you have knowledge local? Yeah, that's not really.
I don't think it applies.
Yeah, just like, a perception check, especially the Slayer. He's watching.
Yeah,
he's
I'm studying him like the fucking Terminator. 24.
24. You feel like every time he's getting hit, it doesn't. You've seen men die.
Yeah.
It's not doing the damage that it should. He's getting stronger every single time. He's definitely getting worn down, but he is far from death.
Huh, okay.
That's your studied target. Joe and Skid are whispering to each other.
We're metagaming. could you please not interrupt?
All right, Nestor Coin. Round 9, you are up.
See, all right. You're a tough bugger, I'll grant you. But I see something you don't know I see.
I'm going to take 2 shots. 22 to hit.
That is a hit.
Yes! Here comes the real damage.
And tell me about the shock damage, because it does make a difference.
God. 8 regular damage, 2 electricity damage.
Okay. Boom! Next hits. Not.
Wait.
And miss with the second one.
Fuck.
Roll a D1.
Oh, what is the study target? A bonus to hit and damage?
Yeah. No, it's a... yeah, it is, yeah. Oh, 9.
You are going to hit either Della, Baron, or Umlo.
Oh, my God. Roll a D6.
Is this the first time?
Yeah, this is the first time the house rolled.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
We're rolling to see which one hits.
And which then one is going
to
hit?
Does he roll to hit us?
Call your numbers.
What happens?
2 and 4.
I'm just going to call him. Baron is 1 and 2. Della is 3 and 4.
I think I said 2 and 4.
Umlo is 5 and 6. I can't keep all these numbers in my head.
All right, 4.
Now I remember what the... no. Oh, you already rolled it.
4.
That's Della.
Okay.
Okay, so you hit Della.
Okay.
This is going to do wonders for the relationship.
Yeah, really.
Oh, what a bad one to hit, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, hold on. I got to take off the studied target.
I hope.
Wait, I think you've studied
this
Della.
This is my favorite house rule in the history of house rules.
17 yeah, damage.
Holy shit.
Can I just point out to the listeners that Skid did less damage with studied target on and then did more?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Wow. That's not even funny.
That's very, very serious.
Repercussions.
You can tell, even though she's convulsing, she is very unhappy with you.
It's all we love. It's a mistake. People make mistakes, love.
She says,
see, you agree.
Baron Redheart.
I am not sure at this point if I have 1 or 0 grit points. I spent 2 this episode. 1 on the door. Or last episode, 1 on the door, 1 there. I'm not sure.
And you haven't healed, so you've used grit points in the fight with the spiders.
But
I killed the shaft.
I killed some spiders. Right, I blew up that guy. I killed some people. I think I had 1. It's up to you, really. But I can't clear my gun at all if I don't have any grit points.
1+2+1+1, not 1+2+1.
Right. Now, do you not keep track of your grit points, or you just lost track?
I just lost track.
It's been like a month and a half. It's been a month and a half since we rested.
It has been a long time.
It's up to you. Or I could try to do a daring deed and run past him.
How can you clear it otherwise? If you don't have any grit, there's no way to clear it?
No, it could just blow up now. You have to have to use the deed quick clear, I have to have mending, which is something that Galabras was able to do.
Della hasn't.
Oh.
But mending is like 10 minutes.
Yeah. It takes forever.
Yeah.
Quick clear. First level is a standard action. A gunslinger can remove broken condition from a firearm she currently wielding unless that condition was gained. Okay. Yeah. No, I can't do it.
I'm led to believe that you probably don't. There's been a lot of combat. Sure. But that's you're fine. Not sure. I'm not sure. That's why they invented dice.
Yes. All right.
4, 5, 6. You have a grip point left.
Sure.
1, 2, 3. You don't. You got a grit point left.
Oh. Nice. Huge.
I immediately spend said grit point to quick clear.
Chunk. And you have precise shot?
No.
I do not.
You do not. Okay. So, -4. Don't want to miss. Fire bullet at Della. Put her out of her misery.
Yeah, okay. Quick clear.
You can walk into the room.
What action is quick clear?
If I spend the grit point, it's a move action.
Okay, so you just got to shoot.
It's a standard action if I don't spend it.
Just,
so I'm going to shoot. I'm just going to shoot
him. Shoot him!
There you go.
That's a hit. It's a hit.
That's a hit.
What's the damage?
16 points of damage.
Oh, baby.
Bludgeoning the old and 16 piercing. Points of damage, Saul.
All right, and because you use the move action to quick clear, it can only do that one bullet. Man, I thought this would be 17 attacks per person in this tiny little room. Joe, at the beginning of the session off air, was like, psh, this combat's over. Is it, Joe? Is it?
I think I might have said it on air, too.
Dela's,
I believe I gave him 6 seconds to live.
Dela's second round of... Oh, no, it's... Lockmore's turn. He's already sent Dela convulsing to the floor. I think it's time to use the old spear. He takes a 5-foot step here. Oh man, I can literally attack anyone except Dela. Right? Everyone. Yeah. I didn't even realize when I positioned
you could
myself.
Well,
I'm 10 feet
oh,
away.
Oh, yeah, you could attack Baron if you want.
Baron, Umlo, Nestor, or Willamette.
Right. I am going to attack.
Or Lexington. Don't get any ideas. I'm just being fair.
Or Lexington. I'm doing one attack on Baron and one attack on Willamette.
Okay.
The two people that
do
have
your worst.
Done the most damage.
Evil cannot harm me as long as I am protected by
your last die. Person to shoot at him was Baron, so first attack. Is on. No, you know what? First attack is on Willamette. Fuck you on your.
You're not going to roll these in the open, you coward.
Worse than Benedict Arnold.
Do I want to do power attack? Nah, because if I crit, someone's going to die. No, I'm going to roll behind the screen. First attack on Sir Willamette. Does a 28 beat your magical AC?
Yeah, it does.
So he hits you. Oh, man, if I get this crit off. All right, so. Sticks the spear in Willamette for 25 points of damage. Second attack on Baron Berenson, 20 to hit.
Because of my reduced AC, that is exactly a hit. 20.
18 points of damage.
Oh. On
so this barbed spear with reach just into Sir Willamette, into Baron. I turned off the bloodied assault thing. Maybe I'll bring it back next round. Sir Willamette, dead? Are you dead? Are you still, are you alive?
No, I am alive. And this guy made a brutal error in judgment. He thought he was going to be fine, but he has opened himself up to another classic Highbury charge!
For Highbury!
For Highbury!
Willamette levels the lance.
Can you charge from 10 feet away?
Yep, that's okay. The exact distance you can charge from. Willamette levels the lance and powers completely through at full speed here.
No bottle cap this time.
No bottle cap this time, bro. 30 to hit.
Oh!
Hit! For Highbury!
For Highbury!
Rips flesh away from him. This smote and challenged target. And he does 32 points of damage.
Whoa. Jesus
wow.
Christ!
Wow.
Oh my God.
32 points of damage.
Wow. A thermonuclear strike does 31 points
so
of damage.
So I should add the reason that his damage is so high is that he has the feat Spirited Charge, which allows him triple damage on a lance charge.
You can do that on a diagonal too?
Absolutely. As long as it's a straight line.
Right.
I didn't turn at all.
All right, Sir Willamette. Dela, her second round of three, I believe. Convulsing on the ground. Umlo's turn. Umlo. Tears in his eyes. Umlo will step up right next to him. Much to the chagrin of the ranged characters, he hits on both with the Warhammer.
Oh, nice.
I'm just... A 19 isn't a critical threat on a Warhammer.
No, it is not.
Okay, so he does... 13 points of damage and 12 points. He does 25 points of damage. And then...
I just said to Skid, it's like every game is your first game GMing. You don't know that a Warhammer doesn't crit on a 19? Get it together.
I got a lot going on. All right, so he steps up. boom, boom, hits with the Warhammer twice, takes Lockmore the Betrayer into the negative.
Ooh!
Yes!
Yeah! Oh, God, I would love Umlo to, like, actually pull out of this.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you know, Lockmore the Betrayer.
It's diehard.
Has diehard.
That's a family trait.
And you feel like, right after Umlo hits...
By, who do you mean by you, Troy?
You, I'm sorry, you. You guys don't see me pointing at Joe? You, Sir
Willamette.
You, Sir Willamette, see him go to a weakened point, but then immediately regain his strength and no longer be in the negative.
Fast healing.
Fast healing. Round 10.
To be fair... Is it actually fast healing, or are you...
It is fast healing.
Fast healing only works on his turn. It doesn't work like...
I've been doing... Fast healing works whenever you want it to work. I've been doing it at the end of every single round.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. As long as it's only once per round.
Right, yeah. I'm not doing fast healing every attack. So, yes. Yes, fast healing. Little lift behind the curtain. Who says I never gave you nothing? Nestor Coin!
All right. So, Nestor's like, he's shaking. Like, part of the reason, like, he's being ineffective is because he's still shaking.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's right. And that's why he did 17 damage
that
to
agonized
Della,
whale.
And only 8 to... Okay.
Right, right.
Yeah, I forgot.
So he's like... But he like threw the pain, the drain of his attributes and the fear. He smiles. That toothless smile. He says, "You are a tough bugger. I like a challenge." Steps back and fires twice. Fumble.
Oh, oh no! All right, you can roll to confirm.
Did not confirm the
okay,
fumble.
Okay, now.
Second attack is 21 to hit.
The second attack hits, but rewinding the tape, he missed and rolled low. 2 hits Baron.
All right.
So you hit
wait,
Baron.
Wait, wait, wait. Did he roll? No, you got to roll a D100 first.
He rolled.
I did.
How can he hit me when there's people blocking me?
No, oh, I don't think...
I don't think
oh, I'm sorry. Wait,
Baron.
Yeah. All right, let's just stop for a second.
Well, it'd have to be Umlo.
Slow
there are 3
the
people. There is 1, 2, 3... You hit Sir Willamette.
Well, I'd...
Well, you rolled
I'd
be, a 2.
I'd
let's
be shooting,
re-roll
it.
I'd
wait be a shooting minute, through. It. I'd be shooting through Umlo.
Okay.
To get Sir Willamette.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to re-roll the D6.
Yes.
All right.
1, 2 is Della. 3, 4 is Willamette. 5, 6 is right. Umlo.
3.
Willamette, as it was meant
Willamette
to be.
Gets hit.
Okay.
As it was fated.
With the bow.
19 damage.
Is Willamette unconscious?
He's conscious.
Oh, wait. No. 17 damage. 17 damage.
Okay. Thanks for lowering that, Skid.
I pictured Della last round being like, I'm starting to feel better. Hits with the shocking bolt. Boom.
15 damage to... what's his name?
15 damage.
1 electricity.
To Lockmore. So 15 Ooh. Regular, 1 electric.
15.
Willamette is hurting.
No, 14 regular, 1 electricity.
Okay. The tides, they're starting to turn. Nestor did do some damage to Della, did do some damage to Willamette, but all
I have
that
not,
mattered.
I'm rolling so badly because not only am I missing the attacks, but like I'm defying the odds by hitting 2 of my friends in 1 combat.
That's insane. It's
that
incredible.
That is a very, very rare fucking thing.
Very rare.
Right, like the house.
Especially because I have the precise shot, so it's like...
I should say, we don't blame you personally.
I blame the listener. Again. Carlos, I'm going to come to your house.
Troy was so excited about this house rule. Do you see why now?
Yeah, he's fucking giddy right now.
This is the best thing that's ever happened. All right, Baron.
Unless I fumble, I probably won't miss people, but I could also kill everyone. So I'm going to rapid shot.
Okay.
That's what I do.
Rapid shot. You've got a clear shot. Don't miss.
Don't miss.
Please don't miss.
Cracked eye.
He's so nervous.
That is a 20 against touch AC. Or 19, I'm sorry.
That is a hit.
The damage is...
Baron could...
12 damage.
Baron could do it. Baron
do it.
Could do
Shoot
it.
Shoot him right in the back.
Second attack.
Oh, I would love it if Baron finished
Baron,
him.
I'm telling you right now, you could do it.
On this shot.
What Torag started, I'm gonna finish, you son of a bitch.
It's his turn next, Baron. It is his turn next.
17!
That is a hit.
Done!
Roll for damage.
13 damage.
Ooh, DR is such a terrible thing.
Quick free action reload and my final attack with rapid shot.
Okay. If you hit, you will kill him. I'm telling you right now.
That is a 13 against touch AC.
He turns into dust.
God, touch AC is the fucking best.
In slow motion. The bullet hits him right in his beating heart that you can see through the flesh that that Willamette ripped away. Boom, boom. It hits directly in the heart, and he just turns into dust. And then, dung, 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 two sounds.
Steel hand.
One of the spear and one of the steel hand just lying in a pile of ash.
So it's like, boom, boom, boom. You're like fucking Ash, Evil like, Dead.
I feel like you've got the, like, the hand on the hammer and you're just like...
Yeah, yeah.
But look at that. I mean, granted, there were a lot of rounds of you guys just maneuvering and getting to position. 10 rounds before Baron could do a full attack rapid shot. Della, for her part... 12 seconds later, she comes to on the floor. Dex, obviously only down 1 point.
She rips Willamette. The arrow out of herself and goes up to the Nestor and be like, "Watch where you're shooting!"
Willamette is going to leap off of Lexington. And go to the ground next to Ingrahild.
My dear, you're the last person I wanted to hit. If I had a choice, I would have shot Baron. You know it was an accident, right?
While his comedy routine goes on.
Baron, you did the final blow. You rush.
Willamette leaps off of Lexington, goes to the ground next to Ingrahild.
I join Joe.
And I'll do a heal check. If I roll low, will she be alive? 18 on the heal check.
You're 100% sure she is dead.
I'll look over at Baron, and I think we probably realize it at the same time, you know. And I'll make eye contact with Baron and just be like, "She's gone." Close her eyes.
Umlo starts walking towards her slowly.
And Willamette stands up and walks away, yeah.
Guys, give him space. And he grabs her head under his strong, now slightly less strong, right hand. And puts it on his knee. And it, you can see the weight. Like, it's almost hard for him at this point through both emotion and the damage he's taken to his strength to even get her up. And he just pulls her close to his heart. And weeps. On the ground is a magical, giant, long spear. Large for mechanics purposes. Long spear. A weapon wielded clearly by a giant. And Nargrim's steel hand, both emanating significant magic. Umlo is shaken. I'm sure you guys are all just kind of quiet, you know, sorting through this.
And he's Willamette is going to walk up to Umlo, and he's about maybe like a foot shorter than him, you think? A dwarf's 4 foot something?
Yeah, it's about a foot shorter.
Willamette's about a foot shorter than him, and he walks up to him clad in, you know, in all this heavy armor. He leaves his lance on the ground, and he just walks up to Umlo and puts a hand on his shoulder, just kind of looks him in the eye, and is like, "She did your family proud. She fought well. Right up to the end. This sort of evil is rampant in our world. There's little we can do to stop it. She gave her life for it. And I, for one, honor her." And then I'll step back.
"She was the one that convinced me to come. I didn't want to go looking for this giant killer's tomb, ancestor or no. I had no interest in it. I'm a simple cook. But I wouldn't let her go alone. I vowed to go with her, to protect her. And I failed."
"Well, mate, at the very least, you gotta admit it's convenient."
He just stares daggers at you.
"What'd I say? What?"
"I wish she had let me die in the bear pits of Red Lake Fort. But she is here now amongst kin. We have removed the evil from this place. She will lie here with her ancestor. And he goes down to the ash pile and kind of sifts through it, not interested in the hand, not interested in the weapon. And he pulls out a beard clasp, similar to the one that Baron put on before entering this tomb. The one you pulled
revealed,
out.
Revealed, yeah.
Revealed. And he noticed that Lockmore was wearing it, and it belonged to Nargrim. And he says, "We will lay my sister to rest here. We will burn her. For it is not her tomb, but she shall lie with her ancestor. You may take anything you want. This is all I will take, along with Ingrid's belongings. My journey with you has ended." Pay homage to my ancestor. Take what you must. Consecrate it, Paladin. And then leave. And he picks up Ingrid and starts making his way weakly towards going back down to the sepulcher. What do you guys do?
Della joins him to make sure without actually touching him, to make sure he doesn't like fall or drop her, but she follows to kind of assist in the procession.
He would never ask for the help, but he definitely needs it.
Does the baleful gaze effect, is that off now?
It's off now, okay. Yeah.
Baron, say, "Whew, oh, that was rather invigorating, actually, in a way. Haven't felt a sensation like that ever."
Baron will pick up the steel hand and the spear to at least bring it back down to the sepulcher to make things whole again before we decide what to do with it. I think he needs to be reburied, and she needs a proper funeral rites. And before we go dealing and choosing what to do with it, which we have the right to do thanks to Umla, I just want to set things right after his arm was eaten off by some maniac, and just give him the rest he deserves.
So you all go back down to the sepulcher?
Well, I'm gonna, Willamette walks up to Lexington, and Lexington is like visibly sad, like hangs his head. Exactly. And he walks up and he's like, "We've seen this before, Lexington. You can't be. You have to realize this is war. Bad things happen." And he's like really kind of torn up, you know. And Willamette just kind of scruffs his neck. He's like, "Let us go pay her homage." And they walk together, Willamette walking side by side with Lexington down the stairs.
Della, you're regaining your balance, helping Umlo down. You two are the first, along with Ingerhild's body, to arrive down there.
What does Umlo do? I'm following his lead.
Umlo is walking over to the brazier and removing things from it, like he's going to light it to burn.
To burn her. Della will, do a funerary dance to honor her.
He's like, "That's very inappropriate."
"Put your top back on."
"It's not that kind of dance."
"No, I like it. It's all right."
Della immediately stops. Okay. Look away.
Will is going to talk to Baron and say, "Sheriff, a word. Is this custom? Do you burn your dead? Or is he acting emotionally?"
"He knows that this isn't her tomb. This is Nargrim's and Nargrim's alone. And I think that we all know that our bodies are not our own once we die. I think it's only right for him to decide what to do with her body after it's been touched by that evil."
"I follow you."
I don't want her to come back, basically.
So he's clearing everything out. I mean, I've told you what things were there that are of value. Some of it Nestor has taken. You don't know about that. There are obviously those magical boots.
Yeah, I'll take those, but when we get to that. But.
Sure, you've got the magical spear with the barbed spear, but it is a large weapon. And then you have Nargrim's steel hand, and everything that fell out of the rug.
I'd like to, before we go through all that...
That you guys didn't really have a chance to look at.
I'd like to reset Nargrim's bones as closely as they were so it looks like a whole thing again. I want to put the shattered pieces of his helmet back together as closely as I can, and I want to say a prayer to Torag and invite Willamette to say a funeral prayer of Yomadai as we close his tomb up on him.
And you see, in really taking a moment with him, that his armor is indeed made from the fingernails of giants. Hmm. What looked like scale mail through the dirty window is fingernails of giants. And anybody who's just walking around detecting magic detects magic from the armor as well.
Hmm. Mm. Could I do a spellcraft check on it?
On the armor? Sure.
Yeah. 16.
You don't know.
Della will come take a look. Spellcraft.
Sure. This is a powerful magic.
25.
Oh, that'll do. It is giant's nail scale mail. This thick coat of +2 scale mail is crafted from waxy scales of varying sizes with a sickly, jaundiced color. The grime-stained fingernails of dead hill giants. Any creature of the giant subtype who comes within 30 feet of giant's nail scale mail must succeed at a DC 16 will save or take a -4 penalty on attack rolls and saving throws for 1d4 rounds.
Wow.
Just sickened at the sight of what this giant killer did with the nails of their fallen giants. This ability functions as a gaze effect. It is a mind-affecting fear effect, but it does not stack with other fear effects to create a stronger fear conditions. A giant who succeeds at the saving throw is immune. If the giant rolls a natural 20, it becomes enraged at the sight of the armor. And then the giant gains the effects of the rage spell for 1d4 rounds and is compelled to attack the armor's wearer for the duration of that effect.
Oh, shit. So incredibly cool.
Yeah. So fucking, I mean, great.
If really
it,
cool.
If it fails that will save, it gives you a little bonus against them. If it passes with a natural
20. Could you 20, wear that armor, Baron?
I can wear it. Right.
So Willamette is going to turn to Baron and say, I have no desire to desecrate a sacred tomb, especially of a great warrior. If this was my ancestor, I'd be hesitant to take such a powerful artifact. But he was a giant killer. That is what you seek to be. I believe this is fate. I believe that Torag has left this here for you, and I don't believe it will do him any good in this tomb. It is your choice. But I think you should wear it as we descend into the Mindspin or ascend into the Mindspin Mountains.
Amlo overhears this and says, because of all of you, Nargrim can now enter the halls of Torag in peace. All of this is for you. He would have wanted it that way, I am sure, because you have granted him peace.
Umlo, I have no family now. It is my solemn request that the Nargrimmikins consider me their own kin. Will you accept me and allow me to avenge the death of Ingrahild, to set back the wrongs to right?
I do.
Could I spellcraft the boots?
Sure.
21.
They're boots of the Winterland.
Ah.
What do those do?
They give you 10 energy resistance to cold. And I believe they also give you the ability to move over ice as if it's not difficult terrain, or yep, through snow as if it's not difficult terrain when it is.
Yep.
Mechanically.
When he says, Umlo says, in order to save copyright, the cold season is approaching. You could even... say winter is coming.
The coldest of the four seasons.
Amlo reaches down and picks up Nargrim's steel hand. It is said that the wielder of this hand, Nargrim himself, was able to It is said that Nagrim was able to wield the weapons of the giants because of this hand. This betrayer chewed the hand off of him, chewed off his own hand to replace it with this. Who among you will avenge Nagrim against all the giants that threaten land and replace your hand with the steel hand of Nagrim? He pulls out his blade and says, who will do it in Nagrim and Ingrail's name?
Fuck off. I'll cut my hand off.
He walks right up to you and says, it was never meant for you anyway.
Well, that's for the best.
He looks at Della. He looks at Baron. He looks at Sir Willamette. Who?
I think you should wield it. I think you should avenge the death of your sister and your ancestor. I think your ancestor fought giants. I think you should fight giants alongside us. I think you should accompany us into the Mindspin Mountains. Though we have been sent from Trunau, this is not only Trunau's war. This is a war for all the common people of Galarian. And if you want to have the honor that your ancestor had in taking down giants, this is your opportunity. And my father always said, never turn away an opportunity to win glory.
Umlo is sort of taken aback. He doesn't consider himself a warrior. Never thought that he would have an opportunity such as this, or to be given the opportunity by this new group. Promise me one thing. If I do this, and if I join you, should I fall, one of you will make the same sacrifice. Promise me this.
Willamette will hold his hand to his heart and say, I will promise you this on the honor of my house. If you fall in battle, I will wield this hand and become one with the Dwarven line, if it is your wish.
I don't care what you think.
No, listen, mate. I promise, I swear on all the gods that may be listening within earshot, that one of these people will take up their hand.
Della.
I swear it.
Sure, you could do more with this hand than I ever could. Promise me.
I promise.
And Baron, as far as I'm concerned, you're a Nagrim in my heart. And I know you had great love for her. Will you do me this honor, should I fall?
I will.
And that's enough for me. And he walks over to the sarcophagus. No. He leans his hand over it. Chops his own hand off and just like stares at it, and then holds Nargrim's steel hand up to his stump, and it begins melding with his arm.
Jesus Christ.
This is insane! And it like goes steel all the way up to his elbow. And you see like great power come.
Oh, wow.
And he picks up the magical giant spear and just and butts it on the ground. I am with you. Baron, roll a perception check.
24.
You see this happen and you feel boost as if someone just inspired courage in you. And you look at the mural up there beyond and you see like Umlo looks like a young Nargrim. Now you see it. The beard has come back. The beard that was hacked off by the orcs is coming back, and you see it as he's standing in like a similar pose. And you see all the other kinsmen among them. And one of them looks exactly like you.
Which one?
There's a dwarf, sort of off to the side on this beautiful mural, wearing what could only look like an ancient duster. Standing there. What do you guys do?
I'm assuming I don't see this.
I approach it and I look at it closer and I want to make sure that it's not what Lockmore looks like, is it?
No.
Just someone off to the side.
Someone off to the side that
as
looks
you, yeah, I imagine it like
just
you know,
like you.
You see, you can see like God. Cracks in it as you get closer. It's like an old.
You step through all the stuff that fell out of the rug. Ting, 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 ting. Della, Nestor, Willamette, roll perception.
17.
24.
29.
Of all people, Nestor notices that of the stuff that fell out of the rug, there's like a statue of two snakes intertwined. And there's one of Nargrim's kinsman with a coat of arms with two snakes intertwined. There's one of a boar, like a sort of ceramic plate with a picture of a boar on it. And one of the kinsmen has a boar's head on his shield. So Nestor, you notice that whatever was in this rug, each item seems to match up with one of the kinsmen of Nargrim.
I look and I try to match. Like I look at the ones which goes to who. And I see if... Do I notice Baron? Do I notice the one that looks like Baron?
Yeah, you absolutely know. And now that you start looking at it, like, oh.
So I look at him and he's like, well, this is queer. And I look and see if there's anything that would relate to him.
The only thing that doesn't seem accounted for, if you were to really... Are you rummaging?
Yeah, I'm like...
Is a small square box.
I pull it out, blow off the dust.
Yes!
And I open it.
Do we see him doing this?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not hiding it.
Okay.
You open it, and you find two things. You find a note.
Whoa.
Ooh.
And you find something that you've only recently seen for the first time. A gun.
What?
This is great because I actually can't wear scale mail.
Nestor, you find the note.
Troy has handed Skid a note that's been blowtorched around the sides to give it an aged look.
It's been aged. Well done, Troy.
The hilt of the gun has two dragons coiling around it all the way up to the barrel.
Whoa.
So I start reading. As a funerary gift to the man who saved my life what feels like a thousand times, if it was once, I, Magmar, son of Manus, leave you, Nargrim Steelhand, the savior of Yanderhof, my sole inheritance. If I could give my life and take your place in the halls of Torag, I would. But since the cruel hands of fate took you before me, I can only hope that this will suffice. On the anniversary of their birth, the firstborn males in my clan are left alone at the lip of a dormant volcano deep within the mind spins miles away from their families. For the first week of their life with no food, water or mother's touch to keep them alive. We are left only with the tools such as this buried beneath our infant bodies. Many perish, but by those chosen few such as I who Torag deems worthy to protect, We are raised within the tribe, and then this same tool is re-bestowed upon us on our 40th name day as a gift from the Father of Creation himself. Useless in the hands of most, this weapon harnesses a powerful magic stolen from ancient fire giants who dwelled in volcanic wastelands. May the great power lying dormant within protect you in the afterlife and all lives to come. I bestow upon you, Nargrim, son of Torgrim, my birthright. I give you Dragon's Breath. And there's a name here, Magma, I assume.
I think it's Magma.
It could be Magma. It's mentioned here earlier.
The name is cut off. Just like this episode. We'll see you next week.